would, and try to present the gospel there to them too. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate those of you that came from the church, and appreciate my daughter's boyfriend coming in with us. Amen. Here at the 2 o'clock service, he follows me everywhere I go. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. and give you a little thought this afternoon. And this seemed to be something that just echoed in my mind. Something, like I said, very simple. But, every time I come over here, I see these kids and all of y'all's kids has done the same thing that my daughter has done. They've got bigger. And not that we're getting older, but they are. Amen. And I seen little Oliver a while ago, and I'm like, good gosh, you know, Tiffany, she said, there's Oliver. And I said, that can't be Oliver, you know. But anyway, boy, don't take long. It don't take long for time to go by. It seems that it's just a turnaround of a month and then 6 months and then a year and they say the older you get, faster it goes. Maybe that'd be the case. I don't know. But I also see that if we're not careful, we're losing more and more of our young people. And it breaks my heart when I think about it. It thrills my heart to see the singing going on up here. The youth choir sounded so wonderful. And I've seen it in our church. I've seen it in other churches. And I know, that you guys have seen it here as well. But there's just a strong pull, it seems like, from the outside, the world, the devil. And our flesh likes to be satisfied if we're not focused. And you know what we'll do first thing you know? We're walking the opposite direction. And how sad it is, but how it can be prevented is right in the pages of God's Word. And I want to bring something to you out of Hebrews 11. I know it's the faith chapter. I know that we've got several different folks spoken of here in the Hall of Fame, the Heroes of Faith, as it's called. But I want to look at one in particular, and I just look at some of the wording here that the Bible uses in describing a very brief description of the man that we learn of or we know of as Moses. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and I'll try to give you what the Lord laid on my heart. Father, I thank you for this opportunity and this day, Lord, in which you've given us this place, Lord, these wonderful people, God. And God, each and every one of them, I sure do thank you for it. I know they've come out, Lord, looking this evening, Lord, for some encouragement, God, this youth day, Lord, and whether it be a parent, whether it be a young person, God, I pray you just help us, Lord, all to receive encouragement. Help me to practice what I preach, Lord. Help me, Lord, to put into to play, Lord, be a not just a hearer, but a doer of the word myself. And Lord, just use us, Lord. Just anoint me and help me, God. I'm unworthy, Lord. I can't do anything without thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 23. Is where I want to start reading. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We could read through a little bit further, but we'll stop right there just for the sake of time this afternoon. But I want you to understand something real simple about this, and again, I'm going to try not to try not to say anything other than what the Lord here has helped me to put down on paper. And of course, should He nudge me in a different direction, I want to be sure of that. It seems like a lot of times, preacher, I guess maybe it's just me where I don't preach out a lot, but you can sit there and you can have something prepared and you can have it down. And man, you just know that that's what God's got for the moment. If you're not careful, you'll sit here during the service and think, now, is this what I need to be preaching, or is this what I... And that's just me, and I'll confess that to you, and you'll forgive me for it, amen. But if you do the right thing, you'll forgive me for it, amen. But anyway, I am sure of this, and I just want to try to give you this. But I think it's very interesting that the Bible lists some very important details in these little verses here in this nutshell story of the life of Moses. And I want to back up just a second here and say again on verse 23, read this again. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Can I go ahead and also confess something else to you? I wanted to hide my child. You understand what I'm saying? And I guess I still have a desire to do that. And I think it's good to do that. Amen. I think it's a good thing to be aware of what's going on. Let your children understand that there's stuff out there that you don't even need to be anywhere near. As a matter of fact, Proverbs said, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And long story short here, there was a set of parents that really desired to keep their child safe. I understand it was from death. I understand the basics here, the background of the story. But there was a caring set of parents behind the scene. I think that's noteworthy this afternoon. And the Bible next says, by faith Moses, in verse 24, when he was come to years. So I also think it's very noteworthy that Moses had been aided and helped and guided and hidden by the parents. But then at the same time, later on in his life, years later, the Bible tells us that he was come to years. Now, I'm not really interested in what numeric that may be this afternoon, but what I do want you to understand is he was able to make his own decision. You understand what I'm saying? And I find that can come different for different environments, different children. I don't think specific number there. But I do know that kids are put into certain situations at different times of life, unknown of their parents, whether it be in the public school system or out on town or spending the night with a friend. And there's things that come along in life and you just have to make decisions for yourself. Amen. And as bad as I hate to not always be there for my daughter, and I think that's just a parental, caring factor, I guess, that's built in us, but there's times that she's had to make decisions for herself. And there will be times for us as adults or children, it doesn't matter how we look at it, that there's going to be times that decisions must be made. And it's the time that we really need to exercise spiritual maturity. Amen? We need to do our best to simply be pleasing to the Lord. So I want you to look by faith. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then we see the word choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a very interesting choice in his life. And, he could have just gone on and went with the roll of the dice, so to speak, and been the son of Pharaoh's daughter, although that was an act of God. Don't let me confuse you with that. But he could have just simply rode out the red carpet. He could have walked that. He could have enjoyed his lifetime of pleasures of sin. He chose rather, though, to identify himself with the people of God and to serve God. He realized the pleasures of sin. I do believe that he had seen enough. I believe that if we looked at some details of his life, he obviously knew what Egypt was about and some of the things that had taken place. And I may say some more about that in a little bit, but He realized that the pleasures of sin were not lasting. He recognized that that there was some things that he needed to be aware of and to turn from. And I just want to begin by saying this. You may give yourself over to some indulgence. You may find a great pleasure or an excitement in indulgence of the flesh. But it doesn't last. Amen. It wears out quickly. Amen. And it won't be long if you're not careful. You'll find that one step outside of God's will for your life, you'll end up down a road of wore out, of a path that led to nowhere, and confusion on every side. Amen. Now that don't have to be the end, but on one side you simply see in this particular scripture here, you've got the son of Pharaoh's daughter, being Moses, and we know that all the glory of the royal palace, the riches of Egypt is at his disposal, and anything was available in Egypt if you were of a certain class. And then on the other side, you've got the choosing of the affliction of the people of God, the reproach of Christ, as the Bible says. You have the immediate advantage and the eternal advantage in front of you, and you have God's advantage. Amen. And Moses chose to take that particular opportunity to turn from the easy path, to turn from the path that would, let's just say, it would be that would be more fitting to satisfy the flesh. He chose to take that opportunity, and he chose to rather suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You know, everyone likes to look at the world, and as far as there's a fleshly appetite, it's a normal thing, I think, of the flesh to like to fit in. You know, folks like to be in the popularity group, especially young people. I think it's interesting, the popularity with people, you know, seems to be more important in many cases than a real solid standard, a real foundation of a true relationship. And the fitting in, the look, the walk, the talk, those kind of things, they all seem to be more important than what really matters. And it amazes me at some of the trends that we have today amongst our young people, as well as amongst adults as well. But it's amazing at the things that are taking place, the direction, the fashion, so on and so forth. And I want to say this, and we'll move into the message here, but a very important question to ask yourself as a young person, or even as anyone here today, and myself, I try to keep this in my mind too, but what is it that we want out of life? Amen. What is it that we want out of life? What route do we necessarily want to take? I think it's very interesting that God wants us to know that Moses wisely chose the eternal over the immediate. He chose the path of faith. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame here of faith. He chose to live for God, and he chose to look beyond what was right in front of him. And in many cases, if we're not careful, we'll be so influenced by what the world has to offer that it's almost as if our young generation today, they look on Christianity, they look on following God as something that Granny and Grandpa did because there wasn't anything else to do. And they're faced with all these different paths to try to sort out, and they've got all these distractions in front of them, and people's pulling on them to do this, and the world's pulling on them to do that, and the reason that Granny and Grandpa serve God, the reason that Mom and Dad serve God, and they've got you here today, is the fact that they desire to stand for what's right. Amen. They desire to build a home, to build a family, to train children, to be loyal, honest, a person of integrity and strength in the Word of God. That way, they can have a firm foundation in their home. Amen. I think it's very interesting, again, that Moses was a man that had saw this through, no doubt, the example of his parents. I think that we could go into some details and look at a lot of different things. We won't do this afternoon, but I think it's very interesting that Moses chose that route. He chose to simply suffer with the affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Just because Moses chose to go with God, that didn't mean that he was going to live a life of unsuccess, or he was going to be poor, or he was going to be made fun of all his life. Amen. I'm glad that I can stand here this afternoon and tell you and report to you that I'm just like the song that was sung. Amen. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. But God's been so good to me. Amen. And I've made some mistakes. I've not made all the right choices, but at the same time, when I've tried to choose God and I've tried to serve Him, and I've tried simply to walk away from the things that the world offers, God proves Himself to me over and over again. And I want you to know that I can stand here saved by the good grace of God. I can be happily married at 26 years, and I can have a daughter and a boyfriend that loves me too. Amen. And you know what we can do? We can have a good home and a good relationship with one another and a good relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And y'all probably don't recognize this, but y'all may can say the same thing I do, but y'all are more friends to me than a lot of my family. You know why? Because my family ain't church people, not all of them. Amen. And I can rejoice in the fact that we can get along and we can have a solid foundation in the Word of God because we've chosen a path that God has laid out for us, and that's exactly what Moses did. Amen? And I sure am thankful for that. What's the end of the story? What's the end of the path? Moses chose this path of faith and this path of suffering over affliction. He chose this path over the ease of worldly fame and fortune. He chose to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. The Bible tells us in verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, there's an obvious pleasure in sin. If there wasn't, then the Bible wouldn't tell us that. But there's an obvious pleasure in sin, and that pleasure is, the Bible notes it, for a season. There's a couple basic problems with people choosing to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. One of those problems is simply this. It's that they'll sow those seed of sin in those seasons, and they'll reap those harvests for the rest of their life. Amen. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We'll continue to reap seeds in a time of sinful season that we plant those seeds, we'll continue to reap those seeds. The second thing I think is interesting is that the season of life will be over before you realize it. And you'll be in that season. You'll sow those seeds. Your life will be wrecked. You'll become so caught up in the season of sin. Life will pass you by. You'll leave a trail of disastrous decisions for your family, and a distraught family and a ruined life will be the outcome of that. And I'm simply saying this to try to let you know, young people, and like I said, old alike, each and every one of us, we've got to choose by the good grace of God each and every day of our life to do the right things. Amen. Joshua told the people, he rallied them up, he said, choose you this day. I got up this morning and I chose to serve the Lord. You say, well, it was Sunday and you was a preacher and you had to go to church. Well, I guess all that doesn't matter. But at the same time, I'll choose tomorrow again on what I'm going to do. Amen. I'll choose Tuesday. I'll choose Wednesday. And I'm not as interested in looking way yonder in the head. I know the Bible speaks of that, and it is a good thing to plan ahead and so on and so forth. But I'm interested in just simply letting the Word of God be a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path each day of my life. Moses was the man that he laid aside the royalties of Egypt, and he picked up the affliction, the Bible says, of the Word of God, or of the ways of God. And I want to talk to you about this just a minute, and I, like I said, I won't be long. What about this word affliction? Does that word scare people sometimes? Does it seem that word is just so heavy in our life here in the United States of America that we are afflicted and persecuted and mocked and and beaten. I don't think that that's exactly what's mentioned here for us. The Bible says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, if you were to look up by way of definition the word affliction, affliction means pain, it means grief, it means distress and persecution. Moses suffered those things. Amen? We don't really face a lot of persecution here in the good old U.S. of A., do we? Pretty basic here, pretty simple. The biggest thing I think that we face, and I can say this, I think I can relate this to our young people, and I can relate this to old people, middle-aged people, whatever you want to call the parents, grandparents, you know. I think we can relate this to every one of us as a Christian. It's not about pain and grief and distress and persecution. It's more about pride and jealousy and dishonor and humility and stuff like that. You say, what do you mean? Think about this just a second. As a Christian, we don't get, you know, nobody threw a rock at us when they saw our bumper sticker. They didn't bust our glass out for it saying Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They didn't bust our glass out at the Walmart, amen. They didn't curse us out because we said our blessing over to a restaurant the other day. That don't happen. Here's what our affliction is as young and old alike this afternoon. The affliction of being a Christian and being one of God's people is based more upon feeling left out, feeling unnoticed, feeling unrecognized. Specifically for the young folks, it's by the world. You know, I don't fit in because I'm a Christian and nobody really wants to hang out with me because there's not a lot of Christians. Well, that's fine. Amen. That's fine if you don't feel like you fit in. And we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be different. And the fact is this afternoon, we're held by a sustaining force. It's the Almighty God that we sing about, that we preach about, that we read about. It's the truth of His Word that dispels and repels and never fails. But it is our constant source of strength. Moses, the Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It seems like that the world can put pressure on the young people, pressure from the flesh to try to be like or to fit in or what have you. But we've got something greater inside of us. Jesus said it this way. He said in John 15, He said, you know, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And then He goes on to say this in John 16, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then 1 John chapter 3, we read something very simple, very similar here. Marvel not, my brethren. That means there's no need to wonder about it. There's no need to hesitate or pause or no need to scratch your head and try to figure out why. John said in 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. So, I just simply said, the afflictions that Moses would face would be much worse than what we would ever face or what we'd ever deal with. I mean, we don't really have anything. We don't really have any issues. It's just the fact of being left out. I think this would be okay. I mean, she'll just get mad at me, but she'll get over it. But I'm sure Brother Tim would be fine with this too. But, you know, my daughter went to public school all her life. And that's just the way it was. That's just the way it had to be at that, I guess, particular time. You know, she would ask us questions sometimes about clothing. She would ask us questions about, you know, why this or why that, or we would talk about music and just certain things in regards to why is it that I have to be different? Why am I instructed to be different? Can I tell you simply why? Because we're Christians. Amen. And I understand that sometimes it seems that there's a fight. Sometimes you're able to make it stick. Sometimes you have to get into the hair starts flying and all that kind of stuff. I'm just kidding. But I know sometimes it's more difficult than other times. I know there's a lot of situations out there that people struggle with, and I'm not trying to drum anything up by any means. I just want you to understand something, that there's going to be some affliction involved. It's not going to be a persecution. It's not going to be a really harsh thing to have to try to be a Christian in a public school or at the Walmart or down at the filling station or at the ball game. Amen. I love to go to high school football games. I really do. I enjoy that. Matter of fact, I was able to do a little bit of a devotion the other day with a team, and it really tickled me just to open the door of opportunity to try and spread the word a little bit. But can I tell you something? We're still supposed to be Christians, and it's doable. Praise God. Moses chose that route.
Amen.
As we're able to make decisions, may we recognize that the decision to serve the Lord will always be the best.
Yes.
You can't see it now necessarily, but you got to see it beyond now.
Right.
As a young'un, as a teenager, whatever it may be, to keep singing, to keep serving, to keep presenting yourself as a Christian, that's one of the greatest things that you can ever do.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, David even had something to say about the afflictions of the righteous. You know what he said? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Egypt was a wealthy country back in biblical times. Egypt was a trade capital. Matter of fact, to my understanding, most scholars would basically say that Egypt was a place of splendor. It was a place of remarkable influence, educational advancement, military might, limitless wealth at one time, and it was there at Egypt. But you know what? God wanted to take Moses further than Egypt. So you know what he had to do? He had to choose to go with God with his life. God wants to take you and I further than Egypt too this afternoon. And he wants us simply to keep our eyes on Him and not on the world. By the way, I thought it was interesting at how Egypt had become so lacking when Moses began to step in. You remember Joseph? Joseph was there. Joseph, through the mighty hand of God, had aided Egypt through God's wisdom. And then guess what? The Pharaoh didn't know Joseph, and guess what happened? It began to drop down again. So it's under the mighty hand of God that we're able to make those wise choices, make those choices of spiritual maturity, those choices that are self-denying. They don't try simply to look at today, to bring ourself to the front, to get our eyes off the world. Bible says that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses knew the ways of God would far outweigh the world.
Yes.
Amen. God wants to establish you and I, but we got to establish God in our heart and in our mind. When it looks more pleasing to go with the world, you must simply stand with the Lord. I say this again and I'll be done. Our happiness for tomorrow. I try to think of my own life here and how, you know, it's been said it's easier to preach 10 messages than it is to live one. And, you know, there's a constant drive in a man's heart to try to do what thus saith the Lord, especially as a preacher, as a pastor. You know, everybody looks at you. And I've often termed it as this before, technically, and don't, please don't say anything I don't hear anything I don't say. Excuse me, but technically, in a lot of people's eyes, we're Christ on earth. That's what a preacher is. And you know what I'm saying, because they look to the preacher and they have a misconception here in a lot of things. But my point is this. My happiness for tomorrow will ultimately depend upon what I stand for today. So that choice that I make today will affect my tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'll have another choice to make, and it'll affect Tuesday. Tuesday's choice will affect Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, you get what I'm saying. Before you know it, years will come, years will be gone, and the picture of our life will be half painted at least. And I think about that picture of life, and I ask the question, how much of the picture will be the beauty of God's work, and how much of it will be blotched out by the world? Does that make sense this afternoon? The Bible says that Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The word affliction, as I said, doesn't mean a whole lot to us here in America because we've got it good. Amen. Worst case is to be felt left out. I want to be okay with being left out because I want to be trying to pull people in. Amen. It'll be a struggle sometimes. It'll be a pretty tough task sometimes. But I promise you something. God will take us way on and further than Egypt if we'll just continue to serve Him. Amen. Brother Tim, I thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Church, thank you very much.